worship this morning, standing in the midst of the season of Lent, that period of the church year that stretches between the celebrations of Epiphany and Easter. Lent has traditionally been understood as a time of spiritual introspection and preparation, a time when we examine our own hearts and lives in an attempt to recognize and weed out anything that is inessential or that is keeping us from a closer relationship with God. Because of this focus on our inner lives, Lent is also a time when we reflect on our own humanness, on that which makes us mortal, fallible, imperfect. One way that many Christians observe the beginning of Lent is by participating in an Ash Wednesday service. The ashes that are placed on the forehead during those services help to remind us of our status as finite creatures whose earthly life is limited. From dust we came, so the saying goes, and to dust we will each return. The ashes remind us that as humans we are subject to sinfulness, failure, suffering, and ultimately death. Our scripture reading for today is especially appropriate for this season in which we find ourselves because at its heart, it is a very human story. It is a story about temptation, about the desire to give in to something that will bring temporary satisfaction, but that will ultimately lead to separation from God. It is, of course, a story about Jesus, but it is a story that describes Jesus as one of us, a human being who faced the same struggles and trials that we do. And precisely because it tells of an experience which we all share, the story has much to teach us. One of the first things we might notice about this passage of Scripture is its placement in relation to other parts of the text. According to Luke, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness comes just after his baptism in the River Jordan, and just before he begins his ministry in Galilee. So we can see that the time of testing for Jesus comes between two high points, between the recognition of his identity as the true Son of God, and the living out of that identity among his own people. So it is this in-between time, this period between Jesus' calling and his entrance into ministry, that is the setting for this temptation. Now, when we think about temptation, we usually think of it in terms of transgressing certain norms for moral behavior. We think of being tempted to lie, to cheat on our taxes, or perhaps to gossip about other people. But these are not the kinds of temptations that Jesus had to face in our story today. The trials that Jesus had to endure were of a much deeper sort. They were temptations that touched the very core of our human nature. At their most basic, they were temptations characterized by the desire to be in control and to put humanity in the place of God. And we can see this in all three of the tests that Jesus faced. For instance, the first test that the devil presents to Jesus is to prove his identity by turning the stones into bread. The text tells us that Jesus had not eaten anything for 40 days and that he was famished. The devil knew that Jesus had the power to do this. Otherwise, it would not have been a temptation for him. But the sin that the devil was tempting Jesus to commit was not so much about using his power inappropriately, but rather trying to control how God's blessings would come to him in this time of need. In other words, Jesus was tempted to take matters into his own hands and turn the stones into bread, rather than asking God to provide bread for him. Surely this is something to which each of us can relate. How often do we ask God for things that we need, and then proceed to tell God exactly how and when we wish to receive them? You see, as human beings, we like to be in control, and at times that leads us to want to control God. But as Jesus reminds us in our story for today, when we confuse our place with God's, we fall into sin. After Jesus passes this first test, the devil gives another try. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and promises to give him authority over them if he will only bow down and worship the devil. And yet, despite this allure of all that was offered to him, Jesus responded to this test with humility. humility and integrity. The price of idolatry was simply too high. Jesus refused to commit the sin of putting something else in the place where God should be. As followers of Christ, we are called to respond in the same way whenever we are tempted to compromise our relationship with God to gain something for ourselves. In the final scene of our story today, the devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and tells him to throw himself down to prove that God will rescue him. Now, to us, this may not seem like much of a temptation, since most of us probably would not be eager to jump from a great height just to see if God would intervene. But again, the temptation here is something much deeper than it may seem at first. It is not simply about putting God to the test, but it is also about having to prove God's place in our lives by creating sensations to attract the attention of others. You see, in Jesus' time, miracles and wonders were extremely popular and were often used to verify God's activity in a given situation. It well may be that if Jesus had followed the devil's suggestion here, many people would have been attracted to Jesus and his ministry. But Jesus knew that to test God in this way would ultimately cause people to focus on himself and not on God. Even though he was the very Son of God, Jesus was always careful to point away from himself and to God the Creator as the proper object of our worship. In this text, and indeed throughout his ministry, Jesus made it clear that he knew where the source of his own power was, and that only God deserved the glory for it. Although Jesus the man is far removed from us in space and time, most of us can probably identify with his experience in today's text, as his faith was challenged in the midst of an inhospitable wilderness. At different times, we have each traversed our own wilderness places and felt the spiritual desolation that can come with that. Perhaps today, some of us here are still facing the wilderness of illness, death, grief, loneliness, or fear. Some of us may feel that we are stuck in those places where we find it hard to hear God's voice or to feel that God is with us. The truth of the Christian life is that it is precisely in those wilderness places that we are most vulnerable, because that is when our faith is truly tested in the crucible of our experience. It's easy to say we believe in God's goodness and providence when things are going well for us. But when things start going badly, and we suddenly find ourselves in the desert, it's tempting to begin questioning God's role in our lives. We start to wonder if God really knows what's going on, and we start to believe that things might go better if we were in charge. Slowly but surely, sometimes without even realizing it, we start to put ourselves in the place where God should be, and that is when we go astray. Like any other temptation, trying to gain that sense of control that we thought would be so comforting ultimately leads only to more emptiness. But the good news that this text offers us today is that our spiritual hunger will be satisfied, though perhaps not always in the ways we would predict or desire. The part that each of us has to play in this is trust. We must trust that God will remain with us and will show us the way out of the wilderness. Our story today reminds us that the way Jesus came through these tests of faith was by trusting in God. After all, Jesus was starving. He could have turned those stones into bread, but he chose instead to trust that God would provide. Like us, Jesus was human. He could have sought out power and recognition for himself, but instead he trusted that the Spirit that had come upon him at his baptism would be enough to draw others to him, that he didn't need fame and fortune to accomplish God's work. Jesus could have put God to the test, but instead he trusted that God didn't need to rely on sensations to reach people. He trusted that God had in store for him a better way to touch people's hearts, the way of service, and ultimately, the way of the cross. Today, as you and I journey through this Lenten season, God reminds us that in those times when we are most vulnerable to tests of our faith, we are called to place our trust in God alone. Whatever the individual wilderness that each of us traverses, we have a promise that God will accompany us there, just as God accompanied Jesus in the desert so many years ago. And just as God gave Jesus the strength to resist temptation, God promises us the strength to face the truth of our own brokenness and to move beyond it, so that we may once again live with purpose the life to which we're entitled.